live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. This is the main evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the Charlton Tribunal hears details of threats made against the life of Garda whistleblower Keith Harrison in October of 2013. Donegal County Council has been criticised for the selection process used for local improvement scheme applications. Councillor James Pat McDade says senior management at the council must clarify the situation. Minister Kevin Boxer-Moran is in Donegal again today. He's been viewing areas hit by floods earlier this month and also in August. Tomorrow he returns to Inchoane, where he'll meet with local representatives and community groups. The Health Minister says Arnbrawer Pleanála will have the final say on the fire requirements for the New Children's Hospital. And later in the bulletin, at around 5:15, we'll have the sports news with Oisín Kelly. Good evening. The Charlton Tribunal has heard details of threats made against the life of whistleblower Garda Keith Harrison in October 2013. In a statement to the Tribunal, Donegal Division Chief Superintendent Terry McGinn outlined how information about threats made against Garda Harrison had been received from two anonymous 999 calls on the 4th and 5th of October 2013. The first call gave details of an overheard conversation involving four men in a bar in Strabane. The following day, the same male caller gave further information, saying the threat came from a relation of Martin McDermott, who was serving a prison sentence in Portlaoise following a manslaughter conviction for the death of Garda Gary McLaughlin. Mr. McDermott was the brother of Garda Harrison's partner, Marissa Sims. With more, here's Trish Laverty.
The tribunal was told the number used to make the anonymous calls could not be identified by Gardaí because the calls were made from a phone which had no SIM in it. As a result of the calls, the threat was rated as substantial. Garda Harrison's home security was assessed and he was advised to exercise caution in his movements. Garda Harrison informed prison authorities that he believed Mr. McDermott had access to a mobile phone. A search by prison authorities located a mobile, as a result of which McDermott's release date was put back. When Garda Harrison returned to duty on the 13th of October, he was put on indoor duties. The threats and subsequent investigations were part of a briefing which Chief Superintendent McGinn gave at a regional management meeting of senior Gardaí held in Dundalk on the 5th of November 2013. Superintendent McGinn's briefing also included allegations of alleged verbal abuse, harassment and threats made by Garda Harrison against Ms. Sims during their relationship. In the current model, the tribunal is looking at contacts between Gardaí and the HSE Tusla relating to Garda Harrison.
And there are more details from today's evidence on our website, highlandradio.com, a more comprehensive report available there. Donegal County Council has been criticised for the selection process used for local improvement scheme applications, with Councillor James Pat McDade calling on senior management to clarify the situation. Councillors were told today at the reconvened monthly meeting in Lifford that a total LIS application was submitted to the Department of Rural and Community Development to the value of almost €23 million. The authority indicated it was possible to deliver an LIS programme to the value of €1 million in the current year. It was later announced that €884,000 in funding had been secured for the county under the LIS scheme. But Councillor James Pat McDade says there are issues that need to be addressed.
The selection process and the criteria that was outlined for the people who applied, I think it was very unclear. I think it was very unfair, the selection process. Anybody who had a laneway that was costing more than a third of the budget for that area was being excluded from being considered for the LAS scheme. So in my opinion, that a lot of people have been sold out and haven't got the opportunity to get their lane tired this year. And I think the selection process was very unfair just from start to finish. And I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done to get the wrongs right for next year. And hopefully the thing can be done robust. Workshops can be done and the roads SBC as well can be used as a tool to get the wrongs right for next year.
And there was a lot of confusion over as well what applications were made. And as you spoke as well of dissatisfaction among the community.
Huge dissatisfaction out there and a lot of angered people out there as well, because the roads hadn't been considered, and it's very hard for us as local councillors to justify that. You know, one road not be done, even though you know the road beside you is way worse shape than the road that's been done. I think it's very unfair, and a lot of residents were excluded from the scheme, and I think that it's just Donegal County Council has to explain that and has to get everything sorted for next year so everybody gets a fair crack at the whip.
And that was Councillor James Butt MacDade speaking there to Michaela Clark at today's reconvened monthly meeting in Lifford. Well, Minister Kevin Boxer-Moran is in Donegal this evening. He's viewing areas hit by floods earlier this month. He spent time today in Killybegs. Tomorrow he'll return to Inishowen as part of a two-day visit. He'll meet there with local representatives, community groups and others. Today, Donegal County Council has been discussing the aftermath of the flooding, with the Minister being urged to press for funding for flood-hit sporting, community and tourist facilities on the peninsula. The Cathaoirleach of the Inishowen Municipal District, Councillor Jack Murray, says initial funding was promised, but 2 months on, he says, no action has been taken.
In the aftermath of flooding in Inishowen, ministers of various departments arrived in Inishowen and made all types of promises, told us that everything would be okay, that money wouldn't be an option. We're now talking nearly 2 months after the floods, and particularly Cockhill Celtic has received no funding. Two pitches destroyed, the only intermediate club in Inishowen with over 300 playing members, and nothing has happened. Swan Park, €1 million worth of damage, a much loved amenity by local people and by tourists and visitors alike, and still no funding to fix that problem. So I think we're getting to a point now where we're starting to lose faith a bit. We're getting very, very frustrated and we need action.
And Minister Kevin Boxer-Moran is in the county and he is visiting Inishowen tomorrow, and you will relay these fears to him?
Oh yes, and in no uncertain terms I'll be telling Boxer-Moran that this is not acceptable anymore. The promises that he made needs to be delivered on. We're not waiting anymore. This is unacceptable and we need action.
Meanwhile, Councillor Martin McDermott says debris in rivers, in his view, played a key part in the flooding in Inishowen in August, and he says efforts must be made urgently to ensure that such debris is cleared so that doesn't happen again.
We can't allow it to be kicked from one person to another, and there's so many different elements towards the rivers, between national parks, the wildlife, the fisheries, the OPW, back to the council. But I think we have to stand strong this time, and I think we have to stand strong and, you know, not allow people to dictate in the mannerism that they won't allow us to deal with cleaning out the rivers. I think this time it has to be done and we have to stand strong and make sure that it happens.
The Health Minister says On Board Plinola will have the final say on the fire requirements for the new National Children's Hospital. It's after the hospital's board applied for an exemption from some of the conditions attached to the planning permission. These exclude an extensive sprinkler system and changes to a glass atrium. Minister Simon Harris says they're not trying to cut corners. With more, here's Nicole Gernon.
The new National Children's Hospital, or Phoenix Children's Health as it's to be called, has applied for exemption from three fire safety conditions attached to the planning permission. These include a more extensive sprinkler system and changes to a glass atrium. The board's project director, John Pollock, says these aren't necessary as they've already exceeded safety regulations.
We put in sprinklers on the top three floors of the building. We put in additional fire escape stairs, which are not required for us. Additional firefighting lifts for the fire services to fight a fire. We put in wet risers into the building. So we've gone way beyond what the building regulations require us to do.
The hospital's been reassuring people that safety is its primary concern and that the application is simply part of the normal back and forth of the planning process. On Board Plinola is expected to decide on the fire safety conditions by the end of the year.
A toddler has been hospitalised in Derry after a canister of bath foam branded with the name of popular children's television show Paw Patrol exploded while he was being bathed. The three-year-old is said to be in a critical condition, having sustained serious injuries both externally and internally. The child is understood to be in an induced coma. Nickelodeon, the children's television channel which owns the Paw Patrol brand, is investigating the incident. Former Mayor of Derry Pat Ramsey is calling for the product to be removed from shelves, particularly in the run-up to the Christmas period.
Some major stores are holding these because it's been promoted quite intensively and up to Christmas. They should be taken off the shelves.
Yeah, before a direction, you're saying take action yourself, get it off the shelves now. So you believe they should be taking the lead on that, you know, because the wheels can move quite slowly in these cases. This could be part of a bad batch.
Are those circumstances where it should be taken off until such times as the outcome of the investigation is announced and what was the cause of this? Clearly, it may not be a one-off, and the parents and the family wanting to highlight this is in circumstances where they do not wish another child or family to go through with the awfulness and the turmoil and the very distressing scenes that the family have to go through. They don't want another family to endure this.
And that was Pat Ramsey, a former Foyle MLA and indeed a former mayor of Derry. A Donegal councillor claims that other members of the authority purposely bring motions before the council that, even if passed, could never be acted on. Earlier this month, independent councillor John O'Donnell described the lack of action on motions that councillors bring to the Letterkenny Municipal District as embarrassing. Speaking generally, councillor Liam Blaney said councillors themselves must take some responsibility for the situation.
There's motions that come to County Council that the council has no say in, to start off with. There's motions come through the council that there's no budget there for, and the people knows that's putting on their motions knows it's not going to happen.
Right.
So to say that they're a waste of time, if you put on a motion that you know what you can do something about, they're not a waste of time. Coming on and saying that you want millions of euros or hundreds of thousands of euros for a particular project, and fairness, and look, I have to say a spade's a spade. If a councillor spoke up against it, he'd be saying there's been against it. So if a councillor proposes and another councillor seconds it, that's accepted, that's agreed.
Mm.
That's never going to happen. We all know it's never going to happen. And some councillors are falsely pretend to the public that now we pass our motion in the County Council chamber, it's going to happen. That does not necessarily, that's going to happen. There's no budget there for it to happen. It's not going to happen.
So in that regard, councillors have to take a responsibility, you're saying?
The council have to take a bit of responsibility as far as that, as you mentioned there, but the motions that's concerned.
And that was Councillor Liam Blaney speaking there to Greg Hughes. The Governor of the Central Bank says he believes the majority of customers caught up in the tracker mortgage scandal will be repaid before Christmas. Philip Lane was speaking as some of the banks met today with the government to explain how they'll be dealing with the issue. He added he's not going to put a figure on the final compensation bill, which is already €160 million for a fraction of customers. However, the CEO of the Irish Mortgage Holders Association, David Hall, says it's simply too little, too late.
2.5 years after the fact, and a central bank impotent to deal with these banks, and the minister is parading them in and out for political expedience today. And where are the customers? I don't see a queue of customers going in to meet the minister. Has there been invitation issued to meet the customers? No.
The CEO of Permanent TSB, meanwhile, has apologised to those caught up in the scandal. Jeremy Masding was speaking as he arrived this afternoon to a meeting with the Finance Minister, Pascal Donoghue.
Well, I welcome the opportunity to discuss the issue with him and to update him on how we are dealing with it. I've apologised at every public forum that I've had since 2015, so my apology still stands.
It's 14 minutes past 5 o'clock.
Sport on Highland with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Gear up for a more active life. MichaelMurphySports.ie.
We say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with soccer. This evening's refixed League of Ireland Premier Division tie between Finn Harps and Drogheda United has been given the green light. Kick-off time in Ballybuffet is 8 o'clock. The Finn Park pitch passed an inspection earlier this afternoon. The original match was called off on Friday evening last due to an unplayable surface after heavy rain. Now, despite the dreaded relegation being confirmed after Sligo's win over Derry at the weekend, Finn Harps manager Ollie Horgan says his players will still be going all out to secure the 3 points tonight. Team-wise, Ethan Boyle is out with a hamstring injury, while Paddy McCourt, Sean Houston and Paddy Milley are doubtful and Eddie Desan is suspended. Former Finn Harps captain Kevin McHugh said it would be good to end the season with a couple of good results.
Obviously, it'll be a case of Ollie and Higby getting the heads up. Yes, we relegated, but we owe it to the fans, they owe it to themselves. Now they finish off the last two games strong, and I've no doubt they will. It'd be great to finish off with a couple of good results to go into next season on a positive note, and I'm sure that's what Ollie will be aiming for.
Kick-off time tonight, once again, in Ballybuffet, 8 o'clock. And if you can't make it, tune Highlands Way. We will have live regular updates as from the kick-off time with Dermot Doherty tonight. Ronald Koeman has been sacked as manager of Everton. The Dutchman has paid the price for Everton's poor start to the season with just 2 wins from their opening 9 Premier League games. They're also bottom of the Europa League group. Under Koeman, Everton finished 7th in the Premier League last season and was rewarded with an extensive transfer budget in the summer. Celtic have been fined €10,000 after a fan tried to kick Kylian Mbappe in last month's Champions League match at home to Paris Saint-Germain. It brings to almost €200,000 the total of fines Celtic have paid for supporter behaviour in the last 6 years. PSG will have to pay €5,000 after their supporters broke seats at the same game in Glasgow. Swiss club Basel have been fined over €12,000 for letting off fireworks in their defeat to Manchester United. Cristiano Ronaldo could retain his best FIFA Men's Player Award in London tonight. Real Madrid star leads the nominations, along with Barcelona forward Lionel Messi and Paris's Neymar. Chelsea boss Antonio Conte is up for the top manager's prize. Arsenal striker Oliver Giroud's scorpion kick against Crystal Palace in January has been nominated for the Best Goal Award. In Gaelic games, Scotstown will be without Monaghan star Kieran Hughes for Sunday's Ulster Club Championship quarter-final against Donegal champions Kilkerra. Hughes is ruled out of the starting lineup with a hand injury which requires surgery. But he could feature from the bench for the Clonus clash and ready to answer the call if the Farnley champions need a boost in the latter stages. Hughes broke a thumb and damaged ligaments in the drawn county semi-final against Ballybay. He was unable to start the replay and also started on the bench in the final against Mahraclun. His older brother Darren says he needs surgery on the hand. We know that. It's too big a risk to start him. It's looking like he'll be available to play some part against Kilkerra, but he hasn't been able to start the last two games. Kieran Hughes will delay surgery until after Scotstown involvement in the Ulster series has ended. Staying with news from Ulster, and Sláinte retained their senior hurling provincial club championship title yesterday, beating Ballygolgit from County Down at the athletic grounds in Armagh. The Derry champions have contested four finals since 2013, and despite losing the first two, it's now back-to-back titles for Sláinte. Captain Chrissy McCaig says it's another satisfying win for the Robert Emmett's club.
We definitely respect every single team we got to play against, but look, we seen the lie obviously, as if we get over them we'd have a massive chance, and maybe we struggled a little tiny bit with the focus and motivation that was there against Deloy today. We didn't play that well today, I thought, but in the second half we probably opened up now and again just to give us that bit of a lead. But in many ways it's almost more satisfying than last year. Last year was more relief. Winning is all that matters, and I know we're 4 points up at half time and maybe saying to ourselves we're not playing that well, but against Kula last year, whilst we didn't perform, I don't think we were anywhere near their level. Mm-hmm. And we have no qualms in saying that. So we need to change from that standpoint. We guess we need to do more hurling work per se, technical point of view, and we've got to base our standards now on what Kula were like last year.
Well, Chrissy and 13 other players from the hurling squad will be back with the football side this coming Saturday evening when they play Errigal Kieran in the Ulster quarter final. And there was double joy for Sláinte on Sunday as their Camogie side also retained their Ulster title, beating Lochgill by 3 points. In rugby, Munster have confirmed that Niall Scannell will miss Ireland's autumn internationals. The Irish hooker has a thumb injury and underwent surgery today, which rules him out for between 6 and 8 weeks. Scannell's injury layoff follows the news that Gary Ringrose will also be absent for the upcoming test, as Leinster coach Leo Cullen says the centre's unlikely to return until the end of November as he continues to rehab from shoulder surgery. And Simon Zeebo was set to leave Munster at the end of the current season. The winger has failed to come to terms with Munster and they are a few over a new deal. Zeebo says his decision to leave is what's best for him and his family. The World Anti-Doping Agency says it's investigating allegations of systematic cheating by Chinese athletes in the 1980s and 90s. A former Olympic team doctor claims over 10,000 competitors were involved. The allegations have been broadcast by German TV station ARD with no response from Chinese authorities. And finally in golf, Sergio Garcia is back in the top 10 of the latest golf world rankings. The Spaniard has replaced Brooks Koepka in 10th place following yesterday's victory at the Valderrama Masters. The tournament host was a one-stroke winner on 12 under par. Shane Lowry, who finished up best of the Irish yesterday, is now ranked 89th in the world. That's it, Donald. Just a reminder, listeners, live updates tonight from Fun Harps against Drogheda, kick-off 8 o'clock in Balbuffet. Jeremy Doherty will have all the action, and our next bulletin will be tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news.
Thank you, Oisin. The poor conditions of Ireland's local authority housing have been recognised in Europe. The Committee of Social Rights has ruled that the state violates the rights of tenants. In the landmark ruling, the committee expressed concern over living conditions, access to services and delayed regeneration programmes. It's been revealed that over the last 8 years, €1.6 million collectively has been stripped from the annual HSE budget at Seaview House in Moncharles. It follows confirmation from the HSE that the facility is only operating on a three-night basis due to staff shortages. The facility provides respite for children and adults with an intellectual disability and or autism on a rotational basis for the southwest Donegal area. There have been reports that families are struggling due to a lack of resources. Deputy Piers Doherty says both staff and service users deserve better.
What we've seen is we've been told over and over over again that it's been reviewed, that they're trying to recruit. And lo and behold, what we see is that services are now being curtailed to 3 nights per week. And when you dig deeper into it, you see that this budget has been simply stripped away over the period of 2008 till today. Over that Fianna Fáil period and the Fine Gael Labour period, you've seen 1.6 million taken away from the service. And there's serious questions. How can a service run and meet the needs of families and service users in that area when they don't have an adequate budget?
You're also fearing that this situation could get worse owing to people taking off sick leave and so on and maternity leave in the very near future.
Yeah, we've heard from service users in the area that they are concerned that in the coming weeks that there is maternity leave and parental leave, and given the fact that the government and HSE have been unable to deal with this issue despite knowing that it was going to happen since January, they are very concerned now that the 3 nights per week service that is available in the area could actually be curtailed further. So what we need from government is substance, not more spin, which they're quite good at these days. What we need to see is we need to know, first of all, that there will be no more diminution of the service there. The second thing is that the staff will be recruited, and we need to know a very clear date as to when the service will be back up, providing the 7 days respite care that families and staff and service users want in the area.
That was W. Pierce Doherty speaking there to Catherine Gaffney. And it's been claimed that the lack of a political solution at Stormont is the stumbling block in awarding emergency funding to protect the agricultural sector in Northern Ireland. While August's flooding caused significant devastation to the farming communities in Derry and Tyrone, the Permanent Secretary was unable to initiate an emergency fund due to the non-existence of a Northern Ireland executive. West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan says the farmers affected have lost a considerable amount of their livelihoods through no fault of their own, yet he says little is being done to help them.
I arranged a meeting with Noel Avery, the Permanent Secretary, who pulled together a senior level table of people, including the Chief Executive of Rivers Agency, senior officials from Road Service, the NAEA, and also those from his own Department of DIRA, which is the Department of Agriculture and Rural Affairs, and also a number of farmers, which I invited to the meeting to share their very real pain that they have suffered and to emphasise how they feel they've been treated throughout this ridiculous process.
Now, some flood relief measures have been undertaken, but you don't feel that they go far enough?
Nowhere near far enough. These farmers have had no help and assistance whatsoever. There's been advice services, but advice is no good when it's going to take quite a lot of money to put these properties, these lands, this agricultural land, back to as it was. In the south, just a few miles away, in Donegal, from where these farmers live, in the northwest, there's up to €15,000 available by the southern government for those who've been affected by the recent floods. There isn't a single penny being made available for the agricultural sector here in the northwest.
And that was Daniel McCrossan, MLA, speaking there again to Catherine Gaffney. Well, the forecast: scattered light rain or drizzle this evening, mainly along the coast. Some rain, a little heavy for a while, with dry spells as well. Mostly moderate southwest breezes, fresher at times on the coast. It'll be dry in most areas early tonight, but become cloudy and misty overnight with outbreaks of rain developing. Some fog possible. Lowest temperature 7 to 9 degrees Celsius with light to moderate south to southeast breezes. Strong at times along the coast. Cloudy tomorrow with outbreaks of rain and drizzle at first, becoming dry for a time. More rain and drizzle later. Highest temperatures 12 to 14 degrees Celsius with light to moderate south to southwest breezes. Fresher along coasts. And the main news in brief this evening: the Charlton Tribunal has heard details of threats made against the life of whistleblower Gartha Keith Harrison in October 2013. In a statement to the Tribunal, Donegal Division Chief Superintendent Terry McGinn outlined how information about threats made against the Gartha were received from two anonymous 999 calls in October 2013. There's full details in a comprehensive report on our website, highlandradio.com. Donegal County Council is criticised for the selection process used for local improvement scheme applications. Councillor James Pat McDade is calling on senior management to clarify the situation. Minister Kevin Boxer-Moran is back in Donegal. He's been visiting areas hit by floods earlier this month. He spent some time today in Killybegs and other places. He'll return tomorrow to Inishowen, where he'll meet with local councillors and community groups. We're back with news again at 6 o'clock. Until then, from the news team, good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 23rd of October. The death has taken place at her late residence of Nora Gallagher, Nora Hughie Moore, Mahara Clougher, Bunbeg. Funeral arrangements to be confirmed later. rosary nightly at 9 p.m. House private pleas from after the rosary until 10 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Inquiries, please, to Kieran Rorty, funeral director. The death has taken place of Sarah Doherty Boyce, The Pans, Cranford. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Removal from there on Wednesday morning to the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Coole, Cranford, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by interment in Milford Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has occurred at Letterkenny University Hospital of Mary Midlinchy, Ne McConnell, Ballybun, Castle Finn. Her remains will repose at her home until 11 o'clock this evening, and again tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Funeral leaving her home on Wednesday morning at 10:15 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place at her home of Mary Toland, née Doherty, 1 Carradale Park, Foyle Springs, formerly of Letterkenny Road and the Metropole, Derry. Funeral leaving her home on Wednesday at 9:20 to St Columba's Church, Longtar, for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in St Mary's Star of the Sea Cemetery, Annagry, County Donegal. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place at Letterkenny University Hospital of Gracie McGarvey, Upper Keeldrum, Gortahork. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Rosary at 10 o'clock tonight with family time from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. Gracie's remains will be taken to Christ the King Church, Gortahork, for 7 o'clock tomorrow evening to repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Falkara Community Hospital, care of any family member, or McLafferty Funeral Directors, Gortahork. The death has taken place of Eugene McGeoghan, now head Muff and formerly of Ochaclay, Mallon. His remains are reposing at his home at now head Muff. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock to St Patrick's Church, Ochaclay, Mallon, for Requiem Mass at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. And the death has occurred at his home of Pat Shovlin, Kelly's Meadow, Dunnyloop, Castle Finn, late of Ballykilduff, Portnew. His remains will repose at his home in Dunnyloop until 9 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there tomorrow morning for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Columba's Church, Dunnyloop, with burial afterwards in St Connell's Graveyard, Kilclooney, Portnew. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Oncology Services, Letterkenny University Hospital, or the Irish Cancer Society, care of James McGuinness and Sons Funeral Directors, Main Street, Glenties. Family time, please, from 9 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow.